Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
The sermon today is on the measures of God, and this particular sermon concerns four things that God measures in the body of Christ. Now remember, the body of Christ is made up of all saved believers in Christ. So as a result, these are not the members of your church unless they have been saved and put into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. If they're saved and they've been put into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, then they are members of the body of Christ. Now, in this lesson, we're going to see that God measures four things as it concerns the body. He measures the size of the body of Christ. He measures the grace given to every member in the body of Christ. He measures the faith given to each member in the body of Christ. And he measures the supply of every part of the body. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The measures of God are these. First of all, the measure of the body. In Ephesians chapter 4, when you begin reading with verse 11 and you read down to verse 16, you see that Paul is describing this work of the ministry, this edifying of the body of Christ. And then he says in verse 13, watch it, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see it? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There he is measuring the body, its stature, the fullness of Christ. You know, it's important for us to remember that those of us who are saved are the body of Christ, and that the measure of that body, then, is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, individually, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. Eventually, we will have the exact image of the Lord Christ as we receive our glorified body. But between now and then, we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And the Holy Spirit is the one that does that. He is conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. So that's our individual situation. Corporately, as the body of Christ, we are being conformed to the fullness of Christ. In other words, God has this, the fullness of Christ, and we are filling up to that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, this is very important to remember, particularly when you are pursuing a program designed to grow the body of Christ. When men design programs to grow the body of Christ, it may be a soul-winning program, it may be a crusade program, it may be a television program, it may be a mega church program, something like that. You know something? You may get a lot of professions of faith. You may even get a lot of what people call decisions for Christ. And you may even get a lot of church growth in your local church. But let me say something to you. If these folks that you have counted because of their profession of faith, or because of their decision card, or because of their membership in your church, if these folks are not being added to the body of Christ, then I'll say very crudely, you ain't getting nothing. And neither is God. Why? God doesn't count them in your pew. God doesn't count them on your roll. He counts them in His Son's body. It may very well be that since you and God are using a different measure for the body, you're using professions of faith, you're using attendance, you're using membership, you're using a decision for Christ or whatever it is to count how effective you are in the body of Christ. If God is using a different measure, those who are actually baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, it may very well be that you are working contrary to God. Why? Because you are counting them saved when they aren't saved, and then they go away thinking, well, I don't need to do anything else. I've already said that prayer. I've already done that. I've already been baptized in that church. And so now you are working contrary to God. I mean, listen, in a construction job, if one man is measuring in centimeters and the other man is measuring in inches, they're going to end up working against each other because the lengths aren't going to be the same. So you say, well, what is the remedy for improperly measuring the body of Christ? The remedy is for us to sow the seed of the Word of God and to water the seed of the Word of God and to leave the increase to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul had to sort this out with the Corinthian church because they had some following Apollos and they had some following Jesus and they had some following Cephas and they had some following Paul. And Paul said, I have planted, this is 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Listen, if you and I would sow the seed of the Word of God, if you and I would witness, if we would water the seed and leave the increase to God, then you know what? God could go back to measuring the body according to the perfect man, according to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So listen very carefully. Quit trying to build God's body according to your measure. Let me say it again. Quit trying to build God's body according to your measure. If your measure is thousands and in reality there were only hundreds, okay, you have not measured properly. And you have worked contrary to God because those thousands that are over those hundreds who think they're getting in are going to find out that they're wind up in hell because the work wasn't done God's way. Now listen, if you and I will leave the measure to God, which is really where the measure is, God then can work through us, He can work through you to build up, as Paul said in Ephesians 4:13, the perfect man, the one that truly is made up of those who are saved and have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That is so important, particularly today. I'm watching more and more ministries designed to get up a crowd because they're not seeing the Holy Spirit work the way that they think that He should, and the reason is they're using one standard of measure, God's using another. Don't do that. Leave the measure to God. All right? Not only do we have the measure of the body, but we also then have the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. All right? In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we see this measure of faith. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Watch it. According as God hath dealt to every man, here it is, the measure of faith. the measure of faith. The body of Christ is made up of many different members. Verse 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." So, in the body of Christ, the body is made up of many different members, and these members don't all have the same office. That's what Paul said in verse 4. "As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." All right, so God measures faith to you for your specific office in the body of Christ. And he measures to another person a measure of faith for his or her specific office in the body of Christ. However, listen, your measure of faith doesn't make you better than someone to whom God may have measured less faith. And your measure of faith doesn't make you worse than someone to whom God has measured more faith. That's why he says here, "Through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but he ought to be sober according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Do you understand? Your measure of faith matches your function in the body. For instance, the measure of faith given to a missionary in a dark and seemingly closed country may be a lot greater than the faith given to a faithful businessman in a church that supports that missionary. Why? Because he goes home to the comforts of his home. He works in a business that he's a very adept at in a country that up to this point has been very safe. It doesn't take as much faith for him to do what he's doing as for that man that's working in this seemingly closed country to do the work that he's doing. I'm thinking particularly of one missionary friend of mine that is in a country of Africa where he worked for 25 years without any really visible results. They spent a lot of time trying to get something done for God, and they realized that the only way they were going to be effective is that they would have to translate the Word of God into the language of the people they were ministering to. And they didn't have a written language. They had to write the language, and then also they had to record then what they had written with the proper dialect of the language that they were speaking so that they could distribute MP3 players and MP3 recordings of the Bible to these tribes that are very nomadic and living in lots and lots of places around this country. So they did this work for 25 years with basically not much in the way of results. But now they've been there 40 years. So in these last 15 years, with the distribution of the written word of God for those who could read it, and the spoken word of God for those who couldn't read it but could understand it if it was spoken, they have seen a harvest of souls like nothing you have ever experienced in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It took a lot more faith for that missionary to stay there through all those years without seeming results, building these relationships and translating these scriptures way more than it would take a man who was trained in school to do a particular business and do it well. But may I tell you something? Listen. Listen very carefully. The missionary is not better than the businessman if they are both doing what God called them to do, even though it takes more faith to be the missionary than it does to be the businessman. Why is one not better than the other? The answer is very simply, God measures to each exactly what he needs. And they are both accomplishing exactly what God wants them to accomplish. My little toe on my foot doesn't do the work that my heart does in my body. It doesn't take as much for my little toe as it does for the heart. But both of them today are functioning properly, and I might add, am very happy that they are. Likewise, God is very happy when everything in his body is functioning properly, and all of it functions according to his measure of faith. All right, now there's another measure. Not only do we have the measure of the body, and it's up to God to determine, you know, that stature of Christ, it's also up to God to determine how much faith you need in order to accomplish what he wants you to do. But then there's another measure back here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And the verse we want this time is verse 7. And this particular measure that we're going to see now is the measure of grace. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. The measure of grace. But unto every one of us, Paul says, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. All right? Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What is grace? Grace is the supply of God's supernatural power given to you to accomplish what Paul said in Ephesians 4:1. The vocation wherewith you are called. Grace is the supply of God's supernatural power given to you to accomplish the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, God's grace mitigates your weakness so that you can do things for God's glory that you are obviously incapable of doing without his grace. Things that are obviously beyond your power. You see it? So you've got this weakness. God has this expectation. Your weakness won't allow you to meet God's expectation, so he gives you grace, and now you are working beyond your power, over your weakness, and you're able to do things for God's glory by his supernatural power. So what does God do? God measures his grace to you in accordance with your specific need. It's very much like the measure of faith. But in this case, the measure of faith gives you the faith to do what God wants you to do. In this case, the grace gives you strength in an obvious area of weakness to accomplish what God wants you to do. I'll give you an example. Look at some of the things that require grace in the body of Christ. Verses 2 and 3 in Ephesians chapter 4. All right, you are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, verse 1, and then verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Well, as human beings, that's not possible. We're not lowly, we're not meek, we're not long-suffering, we don't forbear one another, we don't keep the unity of the Spirit, and we don't keep the bond of peace, not as human beings. So grace is given to us to accomplish these things that God wants in his body that we can't do by ourselves. But may I tell you something? Listen to this, because it's very, very important. The body of Christ is absolutely the most powerful organism on this earth. It is the organism through which God does his work. So, the way to diminish this power is to divide the body. And you know something? You know that the body of Christ is fragmented. You know that the body of Christ is splintered because of doctrinal and personal divisions among the members of the body. And the simplest explanation for this fragmentation is that the members have not relied upon the grace of God to work and to stay together in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace. That's the problem. People say, why are there so many denominations? Why are there so many problems in the body of Christ? Why is there so much division in the body of Christ? Well, the reason is God gave us the glue by his grace. That was what he measured to each of us. But we haven't relied upon that grace to work together, to stay together in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now you got a lot of guys coming around saying, well, we just need to get everybody together. Well, they're not getting everybody together in the grace of God. They're getting everybody together now by removing the doctrine of God and the personal differences. And it ain't going to happen. If it's not done by the grace of God, it is not going to happen. You can't put something together that God's grace has not provided for you to do. So what's happened, instead of relying upon the grace of God for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, they've relied upon their personal opinions, their popular interpretations, their denominational divisions, their fundraising tactics, their money-making schemes, and their feigned love of the brethren. People say, yeah, I love you, and they talk right behind your back and just hate your guts. That's not the grace of God. But the grace of God is not that weak. The measure of the grace of God is much greater than that. And you know that people are not relying upon that measure. So we have the measure of the body. It's God's measure, not yours. The measure of faith, which means that God has given you all you need to step out by faith and do what he wants you to do. And the measure of grace, so you can get along with the folks that you need to get along with when you do it. And then he's given you one other thing, and that's called the measure of every part. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians 4, 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, here it is, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So Ephesians 4:16 speaks of the increase of the body. And it increases according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. You see, in the body, according to Ephesians 4:16, every joint supplieth. I mean, that's just like your natural body. When all parts of your body function perfectly, you're in perfect health. When some part of your body is not functioning perfectly, then your body is adversely affected, and you're not in perfect health. You're not perfectly healthy when some part of your body is not functioning perfectly. So think about your lab work, if you've ever been to the lab to have lab work done, if you've ever been to the doctor and had your vitals checked. Your lab work and your vitals have ideal measures. And just like they have ideal measures, God has ideal measures for how each part of his body is supposed to be working to keep the body of Christ healthy. So my question to you is very simply this. Are you living up to your measure? Are you living up to your measure? You're in the body of Christ if you're saved. You've been given a measure of faith to do by trusting God what he wants you to do, a measure of grace to get along with those in the body that you have to work with in order to get your job done. My question is, are you that connected to the body of Christ that you are living up to your measure? Because God has a measure of every part. Listen, I'll give you an example. If God wants you to be a Sunday school teacher, and you say, well, I don't want to have to get those lessons together and spend all that time. I'd rather be an internet blogger. I mean, in Sunday school, I'm just going to have 5 kids in my class, but as an internet blogger, I got the whole world. Well, if God wants you to be a Sunday school teacher and you'd rather be an internet blogger, you're not living up to God's measure. You're living up to your own measure. And so, therefore, you are not functioning properly in the body of Christ. For instance, an overactive, overachieving, overfunctioning body part like a thyroid or an immune system is going to create a lot of trouble for the rest of the body because it's doing something that it shouldn't be doing and it's doing it in a way that's greater than it should be doing. So if God's giving you a measure of a part to be the Sunday school teacher of 5 kids in your church and you'd rather be the internet blogger so you can have a whole lot more followers, you're not doing your part. You're not living up to your measure. If God has called you to preach, but you'd rather run a business and give, you're not doing your part, and the body is suffering ill health as a result. I mean, this illustration that I'm giving you now, this thing could go on through every function in a church. If God wanted you to be the guy cleaning the building, you'd rather be the guy in the pulpit preaching, then you're not doing your part. You're not living up to your measure. And may I tell you something? When you get judged by God at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be judged according to his measure for what you were supposed to do, not according to your measure of what you want to turn in and say, I did for him. Do you see that? This is a real problem in the body of Christ today. There are lots of members of the body not doing their part. They're either trying to do too much for more recognition, or they are not doing a thing. Now, the measure of the body, as we wrap this up, the measure of the body, the measure of faith, the measure of grace, and the measure of every part. Listen, these are all measures of God. And as a result, men are not the judge. We're not the judge whether each member of the body is living up to its measure. God is the judge. So here's what I want you to do. Ask God to show you whether you are doing all that you are to do with your faith, with your grace, and with your part. Ask God to show you whether you're doing all with your faith, grace, and part that you're supposed to be doing in the body of Christ. You say, well, I'm old and I'm homebound. Then pray. That's right, pray. Pray for men and women that you know that are doing something for God, that needs somebody standing behind them, that are praying desperately. Do that. You say, well, I'm a good businessman and God hadn't called me to do anything but run my business. Then give, and give by faith and by God's grace as much as God wants you to give, so you can supply to those that God is using that rely upon your part in the ministry. Do you understand? And if God has called you to be a missionary, or God has called you to preach, or God has called you to teach or do something, then begin by His grace and His faith making the preparations that are necessary so that when it is time for Him to send you into the thing that He's called you to do, you'll be ready and you will be supplying in that part of the body exactly what God wants you to do. Do you understand? These are measures of God, not measures of men. And we've got to ask God, are we living up? Listen, are we living up to our measure? I pray that God will use this to help you really search before God on your knees in the Bible what it is that you're supposed to be doing by His faith and by His grace to supply to His body. And I pray God will bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.